Today, we're talking about product sales on sustainable photography. I'm Ingvild Kolnes, and this is episode 38. You're listening to Sustainable Photography, where you get support and education to build your profitable business in a way that supports your way of living. I'm Ingvild Kolnes, and after 11 years as a photographer, I want to share what I've learned with you. So if you're looking for confidence, inspiration, and to-the-point tips, keep listening. For full transparency, I also want you to know that I'm a mentor with paid offers, and I might mention some of those in this episode. Today's guest is Louise Gard. She is a full-time wedding photographer, educator, mom, dog mom, and wife. Her photography career had a steep development. She photographed her first wedding in October 2017 and realized how much she loves weddings and authentic moments and booked up her very first season in 2018. She found it hard to do it all, like marketing, accounting, sales, and she reached out to several professional photographers to get some guidance. But she was ignored and turned down. Many of them were even offended, feeling like she wanted to steal their business secrets. Louise believes that there's room and plenty of clients for all of us, and we're all better off helping each other, so she decided to change this closed community and way of thinking. So in December 2020, she co-founded For Fotografer, which is an online photography community in Norway, where they're helping photographers on all levels to improve their photography.
Hi, Louise. Welcome so much to Sustainable Photography. I'm really curious to get to know you better. I know you have... You've been doing this for a surprisingly short amount of time for how long you've come. So I'd love to know how you got started and how you ended up as a photographer and an educator.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm super excited. And yeah, like you said, it hasn't really been that long. So I'm super excited to like just share my story and my journey. My name is Lovisa. I'm 25 years old and I'm married and a mom to two little boys. We settled down on the southwest coast of Norway on an island called Karmøy with our two dogs, 10 chickens and a rooster. I've always...
Really?
Yeah, it's a lot. I've always loved to photograph. As a kid, I got a weekly allowance of 50 Norwegian kroner. I got that every week that I didn't need any candy on weekdays. So those 50 were just enough to get me like a disposable camera 1 week. And then the week after, I could spend my new 50 developing those 27 images. And I spent most of my extra cash on photography stuff ever since. However, I didn't realize that I could make a living off photography. All the like adults and my parents and aunts and uncles and everything, they just kept telling me that, you know, that's not possible. It's just a hobby. I'm sure you've heard that before too.
Oh, yes. Yeah. So many times.
Yeah. I guess all things media just was still kind of new to them and kind of strange. I don't know. Boy, that makes them sound like 100 years old. They're not, I swear. But I just don't think they realized how useful it could be. So even, you know, even after media school, you can go on to study anything. They probably didn't realize that. I applied to media school, got in, and then I got cold feet because they kept telling me that I was wasting my talent, referring to my good grades, which really isn't my talent. Photography is. But it was okay, really. I studied Studiespes, which, you know, doesn't really get you anywhere but to the next school or study. But I did get to spend a year in Colorado studying darkroom photography, which was really awesome. Yeah, that was so much fun. But I just couldn't ignore that entrepreneurial and creative side of me and that spark that I had to do photography. So I canceled my application for nursing school, which was, well, they told me it was a smart choice, right? So I canceled that application and applied to the Norwegian School of Photography. Very last minute, I got in and then discovered my passion for weddings and that it is, in fact, very possible to make a living of photography. So I started my business in 2017 and it went, like you said, surprisingly well. And I booked up my first wedding season in 2018 and have worked full time since 2019. And I also started getting like messages from other photographers wanting one-on-one consultations and advice. And I really just, I don't know, I just realized that we need a platform and a community for all Norwegian photographers to just come together and help each other and just be colleagues instead of competing with each other. So I co-founded For Fotografer in December 2020. So now I get to do both things that I love, both teaching and photography.
That's amazing. You told me this previously that you felt that when you were starting out, it was kind of hard to talk to other photographers and they were kind of like offended if you'd asked them questions. And it was more like a, yeah, you felt like the competition. And I've talked to so many that feel that same way. And it's such a shame that we can't just realize that we all have different clients and there's room for both of us instead of competing.
Yeah.
It's a shame.
Yeah, it really is. I understand, like, it wasn't like I was trying to get like a ton of attention or like an hour one-on-one consultation. I was just asking like simple questions. Like, for example, I saw all these photographers offering like gorgeous albums to their clients. But when I tried to Google that, all I could find was like cheap amateur labs meant for, you know, the regular consumer. So I asked a ton of photographers, like, where do you get these? Like, I want to offer that to my clients. And I got so freaking like offended. And I understand, because it would be a win-win for everyone if that was, you know, the standard.
Absolutely. I got quite good on, as you know, SEO and Google quite early on. So I've been used to getting more inquiries than I can handle. And I would reach out to local photographers and ask, like, do you want me to refer you? And I would get like almost like annoyed replies back, like, who are you to be emailing me? And it's like, I'm just trying to make some friends here. And it didn't work. And I don't understand why. I don't think it's the same anymore, because this is probably like, I don't know, 8 years ago or something. And a lot has changed. But it is strange that we can't just be colleagues, like you say.
Yeah, and like, yeah, that might have been a long time ago. But like I said, I'm still pretty new, kind of, you know, like, I reached out to photographers, like, I don't know, 4 years ago, and they were super offended. I'm just glad that I now can see that there's a change happening, because we can get so much further when helping each other and just standing together. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I think we have a lot to win, because if you're the only serious or professional photographer around, then you're actually going to struggle. You'll get so much further if like there's several of you that are really good. So I think you have everything to win by lifting others up instead of just trying to be above everyone else.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. So the next question I'm about to ask, I ask that in every single episode and everyone has a different answer to the same question. And I'm really curious to hear what your thoughts are, because I'd love to know what you think a sustainable business is.
Starters not working 24/7 for what? Minimum wage? I don't know. I saw that once in a photography Facebook group. Someone just like randomly in some kind of discussion mentioning that, you know, all Norwegian photographers are like super poor and like living for minimum wage. And I was like, wait, what? You can decide your own salary. You're your own boss. And that's, you know, that's what you do. Like, that's how much you charge. Change it. Starting a business is like so freaking exciting. I know, especially in the beginning, when you do a lot of photography, like obviously every single client and every lead, even just the possibility of getting paid for doing what you love will make you jump through the roof. Or at least that's what it's like for me. The hard part and really important part is making work for the long run. So, you know, I don't want to work for change, exposure, accommodation, or whatever for the rest of my life. In the beginning, that might be fine, but you can't live like that. So the earlier you can find a way to make a good living off of it and make it worth your time, like for life, the better. And maybe, I know a lot of photographers in the beginning might not feel ready to charge full price or even be sure that they can deliver what the client expects to receive. And that's okay. My advice is to still make a price list that is profitable and rather just give your clients a discount or something and then explain why, so that you can set the right expectations for what your services are truly worth. And so they know what to expect in the future.
Hmm. Yeah, that's what I usually say as well. And I think it's really interesting when you say that we set our own salary, because we do. And because when I talk to, I've actually made a podcast episode about this, I'm pretty sure. But when I talk to my, I was about to say normal friends, when I talk to my friends that have normal jobs, they can just go to their boss and say like, I want a higher salary and I think I deserve it because of this, this and this. And they do. If they don't think they make enough money, they will go and they'll ask for more. But when I talk to my photographer friends, they're almost the opposite. They're like kind of arguing about why they should charge less and make less money. And I don't understand it, because I don't know anyone who works as much as photographers. Because a lot of photographers, they don't even count when they're replying to emails, for example, or editing or any of that stuff. It's like,
which is a part of the job.
Yeah, it is part of the job. It's not just about shooting. And I think it's just, it's really interesting, but it's also a sign that education is really needed, because if there are too many photographers that are afraid to charge, then this is a way of living that might not be possible in the future. So it's really important to empower people to realize that just because you're doing something you enjoy doesn't mean that you can't charge for it.
Exactly. I mean, I feel like that's a really big misconception, because just because you love what you're doing, it's still a job. And just because it started out like a hobby, it's still my job now. I still need to pay my bills, you know? I don't know. I just feel like it's so important to remember that it's still a job. You need to pay your bills and actually make a living off of it. And I mean, everyone loves their job, or at least they should, you know, right? They shouldn't not charge or not get paid just because they love what they do. If you don't love your job, quit, get a new one. Everyone should love their jobs.
Absolutely. And I also think, like, wouldn't your clients rather, or hopefully your clients would rather want you as their photographer when they see how much you love your job, rather than it's like, it's a pain for you to pick up your camera bag and leave your house. So it's not a bad thing that you enjoy what you do.
Yeah, no, absolutely not.
But you're really good at product sales and upselling. So how can a photographer do upselling, and how can you get good at it?
You're going to have to stop me on this one, because I could talk about this like all day, all night. I have like way too much to tell. For starters, don't just give everything away. Make room for add-ons and upgrades, and make the freaking offer. Ask your client if they would like this and like that. I've heard so many photographers say that, oh, I'm not a seller, I don't want to push sales. And you really don't have to. Offering is not rude. Giving your clients the opportunity to like freeze time, decorate their homes with cherished moments and people they love, that's not rude. On the contrary, it's actually good customer service. Let me tell you like a really short story to just put that in perspective, because about a month ago, I was in Oslo with some colleagues. We went out for dinner and drinks, and we hadn't seen each other in like ages. We had so much stuff to talk about. And halfway through our meal, all 12 glasses on the table were empty. And we tried to get the waiter's attention for so long, just for refills, with no luck. And we kept eating, we finished our meal, and I felt like we barely had time to start talking and catching up. And we'd set off hours to talk, drink, and just have fun. But with all these empty glasses, we decided to just ditch the place, go somewhere else where they would actually give us like a beer. Obviously, we came there because we want their service. And it's the same with our clients. When you go out to eat, wouldn't you like be offered a good glass of wine to complement your food or dessert before you go, right? And your clients, they come to you because they want what you offer. They're spending money on themselves, not on you. Most people would like to use these photos for something. They just don't know how. And that's where you or I come in as the expert. For example, I don't know the first thing about cooking. If I go to a chef and ask for his recipe or his ingredients, that's not going to help me. And I feel like that's the same with our consumer clients. If you give them files, they don't know how to handle it. They don't know the first thing about printing, color space, or paper quality or anything.
That's so true. So do you think of upselling as like a product specific thing, or can you do it for other things as well? Can you do it for all kinds of photography?
Well, yeah, absolutely. For me, it's definitely like a big thing, selling products. And I feel like most private consumer clients would want prints, but you could definitely sell like more digital files or like anything else too. If you sell files, like I said, don't include all of them in the package. Make sure you can sell them some more. And also, I mean, even businesses might want printed photos for their office or business cards or files. And with files too, you can also sell like different rights in usage. Maybe they want to just use them for social media, which is kind of small, but others might want to use them for their website or for ads and make big money on them. So I would charge more for that.
Yeah, absolutely. I think if you think about it, files can be really handy, but it's usually not what you look at. You probably want to flip through an album or have them on your wall. That's the way your client will get the most out of it. So it completely makes sense.
Right. Like, how often would they go get that hard drive, you know? I keep telling my clients that to get like the most out of your photos, you should really like just decorate your home with them and make sure you see them every day. I tell my clients that upstairs in our own hallway, we've put a big family picture, which actually now is missing my last baby. So we need to go get a new one. But we put it in the hallway so that every time we get home, if we've had a long day or whatever, the first thing we see is our family and people we love the most. And like, it just makes us smile, you know? But after a long day like that, I probably wouldn't remember to like, oh, wait, I'm just going to go find those pictures from that magical day, you know? But if it just hangs there, it just makes me happy.
Yeah, that's definitely a very good point. And that whole thing about upselling, it just reminded me of something. Before we started recording, I told you that I myself feel very awkward selling and upselling and all that stuff. I also know that if I don't do it, I'm actually doing my clients a huge disservice. Like, I have this amazing thing that they actually want, but I'm not offering that to them, which is a real shame. And that's something I should definitely get better at. And there's probably a lot more to it than just asking them if they want it. I'm going to ask you about that afterwards. But I know that for me, especially for my business, there's a lot of services that I inquire about. Like, for example, it can be anything from podcast editing to branding things. There can be so many things. And there's been so many times where I feel like I would have actually said yes to a package that included a lot more than what I initially inquired about, but no one ever offered it to me.
Right.
So from like a client standpoint, that's a bit like, what does that really mean? Does it mean that I'm not really the right fit for this and they don't want to work with me? Like, it's really hard because it can kind of feel that way as well. So if you're not really offering more, you don't really know what your client really wants, but you can usually offer them more than what they asked for.
Yeah, absolutely. And a lot of times they don't even know what they want, because usually we know much better than them how to use these photos and how they look best and what they can use them for. A lot of my clients come in here and I show them like the image box and they're like, what's an image box, you know? But when I show it to them, they of course really want that. It's really practical and it suits their home.
Yeah. And it's kind of the same, like, for us who have done wedding photography for so long, when we work with a couple, it's probably their first time getting married, and we've done like tens or hundreds of weddings, so we know what works and what doesn't. So it's important to keep in mind that we're the professional ones, we're the experts, and we can probably tell them what they might like based on our experience, because you've probably talked to a bunch of different people about how they use their photos and what works and what doesn't. So you have a lot of knowledge to share with your clients.
Yeah. And that's actually the main reason I don't even ask my clients, like, what do you want to do with these photos? Because if I do that, then they're going to start thinking and looking like, oh, my friend had this, or I saw that once. And maybe that's not at all what you offer, you know? And maybe that's a bad quality product or something that, you know, that people don't really appreciate, you know? So instead of asking my clients, like, how do you want to use these photos? I just ask them if they want to see my recommendations or see what I offer and what I recommend for their photos. And they're usually like, oh yeah, that sounds great. And actually most of the time they're just really happy. They don't have to think of all these ideas themselves. That's why they hired me. So they don't have to do that stuff. And I just show them, yeah, what I offer.
That's a really good idea. Is that basically when your sales process works, like after the wedding day, or does it start before that? Can you maybe elaborate a bit?
Kind of, but I feel like prep work is probably the biggest part of my sales process. I talk about my products and the end result from the very beginning. Most of my clients have already been introduced to albums and prints even before our first talk. I try to post a lot about it in my social media, in my website, and everywhere so that they know what to expect and what they should end up with after working with me, especially since so many photographers don't offer products and prints. I want to make sure they know that that's what I do. And also, I try to be good at introducing prices at the very beginning, which can be really hard and really scary. Most people don't know how much quality products cost and might be shocked seeing my price list for the first time. And honestly, I understand why they're shocked, because all they've ever seen and heard are from, you know, those who scream loudest, you know, amateur print labs, hobby photographers. They're proud about their like low prices. But naturally, top quality products from an aspiring entrepreneur cost way more. When I first started offering products, I hated talking about pricing and my prices, and I put it off as long as possible just to not scare people off, which was a terrible idea. I ended up with unhappy clients, not selling much, or even anything at all. So now I talk about products and I talk about prices from day one, just to make sure that my client is on board and wanting my service products. Yeah, that's very important.
Yeah, it is. And since I don't offer, or I offer products, but I'm not really that good at selling them, I can't say that I have too much experience. But I have heard from a lot of other people who have worked with other photographers who are mainly offering products, that they book a photographer for a certain price, and then after the wedding day, they have no idea that they then have to pay for products. And it's just like a big shock. And suddenly their photography got twice as expensive as they thought. And I think that's like a really old-fashioned way of doing things.
Yeah, and it's an unpleasant surprise.
Yeah,
it's not going to leave them with a good impression or even as happy clients. They're not going to come back. They're not going to recommend you to everyone else.
Absolutely not. And I think your way of like introducing the prices at an early stage is a really important thing to do.
Yeah, and like I said, most people are shocked, even if it's within their budget, because they just expected less because that's what they've seen before. But I feel like it's the same with everything else too. Like I have some stuff that I've spent a lot of money on. Like for example, the first time I saw Egyptian cotton sheets, you know, they're super expensive. And I was like, what the heck? No, I'm not going to spend like thousands of kona on that. But then I see it like several times and I'm like, oh wait, oh, look at that color. I like that color. And maybe I might buy it, you know? And then the more you talk about it, the more you see it, eventually you might want it. And if it's in your budget, you're going to buy it. And it's the same thing with my photography products.
Yeah, that's definitely true as well.
Louisa will be right back, but in the meantime, I want to introduce myself. I'm Ingvild Kolnes. I help talented and overwhelmed photographers to get back in touch with the artist that they want to be. You know, where you work with your dream clients without having too much work on your plate. I do this by helping you to build your confidence and to set boundaries. And I also talk about what to charge for your work through my 7-step program so that you can make a living from your creativity. So you're definitely in the right place if you're tired of working nonstop and you feel like you're falling behind. You've had enough of struggling to get clients and working with people who don't value you. Instead, you're ready to set boundaries and attract your dream clients who'll pay you what you ask. If you're looking for a mentor who'll teach you how to set up your business in a way that lets you thrive and spend more time on photographing and creating your art without burning out, working nonstop, or thinking that you can't do this, I can't wait to support you. So come on over to Instagram at Ingvild Kolnes and say hi. Now back to Louisa.
You spend a lot of time educating other photographers and talking to them. Do you see any mistakes that happen again and again, like some common things that photographers do wrong when they try to sell things and upsell things?
Yeah, definitely. And I made a lot of mistakes. Like I said, I didn't find anyone to help me with it. So I made all the mistakes and hopefully some of you guys can just skip over that part and learn from my mistakes. When I first started selling products, the print lab I chose to use and work with sent a seller to help me get started and show me like all the products they had to offer. And he laid out all kinds of like beautiful products and prints. He brought stuff printed on wood, on aluminum, on matte paper, luster paper, with frames, no frames, you know, all the stuff. And I was like, oh, well, people have different tastes. I'm probably going to need one of each, right? So I bought pretty much everything. And boy, that was a big waste of money. My first clients came in wanting some photos printed. And I laid down probably like 30 sheets of paper with what felt like 100 different price lists and then like 1,000 different sizes. And of course, my client was totally overwhelmed, said that, oh, we need to go home and think about this. And then they never came back. Right. So I've since learned that what works is just offering a few products and of course, choose products that complement each other. My client doesn't need 10 different products on the wall. They need something on the wall and maybe then just an album or an image box to complement that.
Yeah. I think it's the same with a lot of business decisions where you think like you have to kind of cater for everyone and you have to give people a lot of options because people have different tastes and stuff. And what you're actually doing is just overwhelming them. And yeah, that doesn't help.
Yeah, no. And also it's like super overwhelming for you or me as a photographer. Like there's way too many stuff to like keep track of. So I offer just like a couple things and it makes it so much easier just for me and for them.
Absolutely. So as I said, and as you said, you do education for others. Why? I mean, you're doing so well. Why isn't that enough?
I do love teaching. And like I mentioned, like briefly in the beginning, when I started out, I struggled a little bit in the beginning and I had to find out everything on my own. And I don't really believe in business secrets. I think we're like we've said a lot of times, I think we're all better off helping each other. Being a photographer is a lot. Like you need to know accounting and marketing and everything. And it's just way too much. But educating is such a big passion of mine. And being able to help other photographers build their business and work on their skills and book more clients, it just makes me genuinely happy. Like and ridiculously happy. Like, seriously, I happy dance and my voice get all squeaky because that's how happy I get. I just want to be there for them and like help people in those areas that I want to help with. Because like I said, there's too much for one of us to handle alone. There's all these things we need to know and able to like run a profitable business. It's not enough just being a good photographer. You need to be an expert in marketing and have control of your accounting. And
yeah, it's true, because I think most photographers start because they love photographing, and then there's so many things you have to learn and figure out. And yeah, you can do it by yourself. That's what I did. Mostly I've tried to learn where I can, but there wasn't that many offers when I started. And I don't even want to think about how many years I wasted trying to do all the things myself instead of just getting help, which again, I would have if it had been available. But yeah, you'll get a lot further if you just ask for help.
Yeah, it's so underrated. Yeah. And I feel like a lot of people like feel like it's so expensive. And again, like that photographer needs to pay their bills, but it's really going to help you. Like, I would so much rather just pay those like thousands Norwegian krona, whatever, if that could save me like a year of frustration and time and trying to figure everything out, and then probably end up worse than if I just, you know, got help.
Yeah. And that's true of anything. Like if you're, for example, my website, that's been a never ending thing, because it's like you can do it yourself. So then you try to do it yourself, but then you have to learn a whole new field, which is web design, and you have to learn a new software, and you have to piece everything together. And it's going to take you hours and hours and hours and probably weeks and months to get it right. And that's time that you should spend photographing and
could have been making money. Yeah.
Making money instead of wasting time. So I think it's important to remember that when you're spending your time, you're basically saying no to money that you should be making.
Yeah, that's a good one. Good point.
So if the person who's listening want to get better at upselling, what's one thing that they can do right now? Like how do they begin?
If you're new to products and work with regular consumers and do portrait photography, definitely register at your preferred print lab. I highly recommend QT Albums, but there's a ton of different print labs. Just find your favorite and order your first album or your first print. And just make sure that your demo looks like the product you want to sell and that you want your client to take home. Don't order like a really small sample, because your client will buy whatever you put on the table because it looks good, right? So show them like your favorite product and your recommended size. It might cost a little bit more, but you'll be grateful later, because you don't have to be pushing those sales so hard, because they can just see it for themselves, how pretty it is in that size or whatever. If you're already offering products, I can probably already like recommend you to just cut down on the options. Focus on 1 to 3 products and sizes and show that and talk about that from the very beginning and like all the way through your sales process and marketing channels.
What if you're working with people who aren't in your neighborhood? Can you still like do product sales?
Oh yeah, definitely. I've done tons of like meetings and stuff like that over Zoom, which works great. Yeah. And usually I do meet them at some point, right? Because we're probably shooting. I've had some clients that live far away, and then we just put things together and do several things at once. So sometimes I've brought products to the shoot. A lot of clients, especially for weddings, they come here for a meeting to plan the day and what we're doing. And then they can look at the products at the same time instead of coming back to look at them when ordering products. So if they've seen them before, either like at the meeting or at the shoot, they can pick out their favorites, they can touch it, feel it, see what it looks like. And then when we're meeting on Zoom, it's so much easier for them to like know what they're buying. But Zoom too can work really good, especially if you connect it to your camera so they can see the products really well and also take pictures of your stuff.
Yeah, that's a good idea. I think you're really good at like sharing products and stuff on social media, and that must really help.
I try. I feel like it's not a lot, but I've had so many of my mentor clients doing one-on-one. They come to me asking for help, especially selling products. And they're like, I'm offering products and no one's buying it and I know why. And with my last 3 clients, I went to their social media and I started counting like all the posts. I started counting all the way down until I could find a product, because that's what they want to sell, right? They all had like somewhere between 100 and, well, 60 and 100 posts with no pictures of products at all. I'm like, how are your clients supposed to know that you're selling products? You can't see it. So I try like I try to keep at least one product photo like on my feed without having to scroll. You don't have to look for it. But even that, like, product is like my main thing, or like at least 50% of my business. So technically it should be 50% of my feed. But and it's super like, I hate posting pictures of products, not because I don't love the products, but because of engagement. And you're gonna see that if you start posting pictures of an album, you're not gonna get very much likes or comments or anything. One reason is probably because people don't really like to feel like they're being sold to, but also because we connect with other people. And you can tell when posting regular pictures too. Like if you post a photo where people are like super tiny in the background of a landscape, you get a couple likes. And then if you post a closer photo, you get more likes. And then if you go all the way up on their faces and you can totally see all these emotions and really connect with them, that's where you get a lot of likes. But not getting likes doesn't mean that people don't see your post and that it's not important. So all of my product posts got like probably like 30% of my average engagement, but people still see it, and it's still very important to post it and show it off.
Yeah, and that's a really good point, actually, that when you're posting on social media for your business, it's not really about getting likes. You're doing that to actually sell and to make money. So it's about the long-term effect and not about the likes. And if you're not getting enough engagement and you want to do something about that, maybe you should have a photo shoot with your clients looking through their album. Like, you can see their emotion when actually using their product, because that could be a great thing. That's something that I've thought about a million times. Like, oh, I should.
Then you put it off.
Yeah. That's what I do. I put it off.
But that is a really good idea, and that helps, obviously. Definitely show your products. I saw a study once. I don't remember the details, but I remember it was saying something that you need to see something a certain amount of times before you buy it. And like, it used to be like 6 times or something, like ages ago. But now in this digital world, I think it's like 30 times or whatever. I don't know. So people need to see it a lot of times before they actually like, oh, wait, I want that.
Absolutely. And if you just post something once and nothing happens, then it's easy to think like, oh, no one wants it. But actually, you need to just keep going.
Yeah. I've heard so many people, like, they've seen my photos, they've seen the products, and I'm like, oh, you did? What? Well, you didn't comment on that. Like, but then maybe they're raving about it to their friend, you know? And especially clients, I feel like as photographers, we talk a lot to each other on social media and leave a lot of likes and comments, and that's good. But I feel like, well, regular people, to call it that, well, your clients are maybe a little bit more shy and don't leave as much engagement, but they still see that stuff, and that's why they're there. They like what you post.
Yeah, and that's an important reminder to post for your clients and not for other photographers as well, which is what a lot of people do. But that's not what this conversation is about, though, but it's still important to remember. So what would you recommend doing to build a sustainable business?
Like I said, there's like, all photographers have different ways of, well, making a living and making everything work. And products may not be for everyone, but I highly recommend it. Like, start selling products. Like I said, most regular consumers want their photos printed somehow, and they don't know how to do that. They don't know the first thing about printing. So I recommend you being the expert in that area. And I mean, if you're happy and running a sustainable business selling digital files, that's great. It just didn't work for me. Offering prints and products worked like a charm. And like, I doubled my income doing that. And at the same time, I could satisfy my clients on a whole other level. Like I said, these photos bring them joy, like, every single day. I keep reminding them of, like, how much they love these photos and that day together.
Yeah, I guess you don't really have anything to lose if you're already doing well selling files, because you can always add it on and just be a little bit more strategic than just adding it on as like a sentence at the end of your delivery email, which is what I do. Like, if you want to have an album, just let me know. So sometimes it works, but that's all the effort that I put into it.
Yeah. Also, one thing, well, it's kind of off topic, but it's a good tip for everyone out there wanting to start selling products, because I feel like one of the problems is a lot of clients want digital files too, or at least they think they need it or think they want it. So what I started doing to avoid that question and that problem, because my clients kept asking, like, what about the files? What about my new profile picture, you know? So I started including digital files of the things that they buy. So if they buy an album with 20 images, they get those images digital too, but not full resolution, because they don't need that. They just print it with me. So I give them low resolution, which is perfect for invites and social media and all the stuff that they need it for. And again, I feel like it's so important how you put it, because I don't tell them that, oh, you get the digital, like low resolution files. That doesn't sound very nice, right? But I tell them that these files are perfect for your usage. They get extra sharp on social media. You don't need a lot of space to like store them. Yeah. So that's perfect for you. And if you ever change your mind and want something else printed, you can always come back to me and we'll figure it out.
Yeah, that's a really good tip. Do you not give digital files with, like, because when you do a wedding day, you just give the pictures that they, like, if they print on the wall?
For the wedding part, that's the only time that I give all the files. That's included. But again, I don't give them the full resolution ones because that doesn't make sense to me when you really, like, study the pricing. And yeah, it just doesn't make sense. Like, that would be way too cheap, like 300 or 500 high-resolution files. And again, I put it the right way so that I tell them that these files are perfect for your usage, right? I give them low resolution and they can use them on thank you cards and they can get a new profile picture and post them on Instagram. And then I have an album included in my package. So they usually upgrade that and get their whole story in one place. And then they buy a couple of prints for the wall. And like I said, if they change their mind, they can always come back. And I have all the files safely stored.
That's a really good idea. And that whole thing about how you frame things, like, that makes all the difference.
Oh, yeah.
So where can the listener go to keep learning from you?
I'm a co-founder and the main content producer for the online photography community, Faux Photographer. We share a ton of valuable tips and tricks, both on our social media account, Faux Photographer, but also on our blog. And if you want to access like all the course, guides, tutorials, and even a ton of discounts that we have, community forums, you can join us on the inside and become a member. You'll probably find that on Instagram, but also on faufotografer.no. It's for your Norwegian listeners. Everything's in Norwegian. That's kind of our motto because there's so much education out there in English, but nothing really in Norwegian. So that's what we do and adapt everything to the Norwegian way of doing things. There's no lock-in period. So you can, if you want, just go ahead and join us for a month, see if it's for you, check everything out, go through all the courses and then just cancel your membership or subscription if you don't want, if it's not for you.
Perfect. I'm going to be sure to link to that in the show notes so it's easy to find.
Awesome.
And thank you so much for having this talk with me. It's been so much fun.
Yeah, I'm glad. Thank you for having me. It was great.
Thanks for listening to Sustainable Photography. Head over to Instagram at Ingvild Kolnes to tell me what you want future episodes to be all about. Check out the show notes over at ingvildkolnes.com/podcast. You can learn more about the Sustainable Photography Program and sign up for the waitlist there. To get more of this content, make sure you subscribe to the podcast and leave a review. Your support makes all the difference. Talk soon.